In your Bible, please, Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, Philippians. You'll remember that this letter is to a very special church in the life and heart of the Apostle Paul. It's the very first church established on the European continent, about 50 AD. He now writes this letter 61 AD. It's been about 11 years since this church was established. Very humbly, a little women's prayer meeting outside of the city of Philippi. And there the Lord opened Lydia's heart and her family. And the church was established on the European continent. Not many days after that, that church was added to by a prison guard. Paul was faithful in proclaiming now through Philippi the good news of Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, and the faith that is required to have a personal relationship with the true and the living God. That brought down the wrath of the merchants in Philippi, because in the process of preaching Christ, he cast out a demon from a young woman. And they were profiting by that. And so into prison he goes. The very first rock concert took place in that prison. I know that because as they sang and praised God, the foundation of that prison was rocked. The one who was responsible for those prisoners rushed in and brought Paul, Silas, out and asked him this question. Sirs, he had been listening, couldn't mistake what was going on in that prison. Jesus Christ was being praised. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul opened his Bible and preached for 2 hours. No, he simply made this declaration. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And then, in the house of that jailer, he opened the scriptures so that they would truly understand that faith in Christ is faith in the true and the living God. God who became flesh and dwelt among us. God who became our sin bearer. That we no longer must fear death, must fear judgment. How? By simple faith in his finished work. And the new life that he gives. Having come forth from the grave, victor over death and sin. For 34 years, Paul would be proclaiming that good news. He's coming near the end of the ministry. In 67, he will be martyred in the second imprisonment there in Rome, this time in a dungeon, not a hired home. Our attention over these last several weeks has been in the third chapter, and specifically verse 17 over the last week or so. But let me read the context so that we can allow the Spirit of God to refresh our minds and hearts and to put us in preparation for that which we're going to share together in this morning. Verse 10. Paul says, that I may know Him, that is Christ, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, that I might obtain to the fullness of all that I now have in Christ Jesus, that I might be experiencing that fully. There's nothing more important than the experiencing of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that which I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. That is the perfection that we have in Jesus. As far as God is concerned, we are perfect in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. That's our position. But this letter is encouraging those who have placed their faith in Christ to go on in that process of being conformed into the image of Christ. Practically experiencing that perfection that He desires us to be realizing. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, whom He knew, God, He predestined, put in place a plan to have realized the conformity of those whom He was calling unto Himself. Those whom He justified, declared right in Christ Jesus. He also glorified. He sees us already perfected in Christ Jesus. I press toward the mark, toward the goal, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Conformity, we're going to be like Him. Glorified body and a conduct in His presence sinless. I press to the mark. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, we are in His sight, be thus minded, and if anything you otherwise are minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. I want you to be experiencing what is true of you. I want you to be experiencing it with us who are experiencing that. We're in this together. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rule. Christ-likeness, the perfection that is already ours, to be fleshing it out, to be walking Christ-like. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. This new relationship that we have with the true and the living God is a relationship obtained through faith in His Son, in His finished work in our behalf. It's a relationship that is progressive. It is an individual now new life in Christ, to be experienced just as we experience a walk in the flesh, a walk in this life. So it's an individual walk, but it's not an isolated walk. In fact, it's an integrated walk. Those who have placed their faith in Christ are walking together in this new life. as we've already seen in previous studies, is not only an integrated walk, it's an interdependent walk. We need one another. We're in this together, and we're in this together to build one another up. It's not only integrated and interdependent, it's a walk that is indispensable for each member to the other. No member of the body is more important than any other member. But the body doesn't function as a whole unless each one is doing his part. And we are indispensable to one another because we are indispensable to the whole, the body of Christ. It's a walk that is indivisible. We're together. And going to be presented together as his perfect, blameless, spotless church. Whole, indivisible. Till then, we walk, as we've seen in our previous studies, in a way that is worthy of all that we have in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4, and you'll remember verse 1, "Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of this calling, wherein you are called." It's a high calling. It's a heavenly calling. It's a holy calling. And how is it to be fleshed out? How is it to be manifest, this high, heavenly, holy calling? Humbly, of course, because it's a calling unto him. He who left heaven, he who left the outward display, the outward manifestation of his majesty as of God, to take on the form of a servant, and in that form as a human, would suffer in our behalf as our sin bearer. Therefore you are called with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Walk worthy. And then over at verse 17, we saw last week, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles." Remember, this church is primarily made up of Gentiles. Jew and Gentile, now one in Christ in the body. "Walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the hardness of their hearts." No longer walk with a hollow, empty head concerning God. No longer walk with a hard, evil heart. That's how you walked before you came to saving faith in Christ. Romans chapter 1. The wrath of God is revealed against all unrighteousness. And Paul, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, then puts on display the righteousness of God and the contrast, the unrighteousness of man manifests itself, homosexuality, lesbianism, manifesting itself in atheism, idolatry, agnosticism, All that is opposed to the true and the living God and the purpose for which he made man, to be to his eternal praise. What man has done is corrupted all of that. He's corrupted all of that because he is now dominated by the devil, driven by demons in a wicked world. You don't walk that way anymore, because now your citizenship is in heaven. You're still here, but you have now a new life. Not like the old. But you have not so learned Christ, verse 20. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. You're different now. You know that. This is true. So, respond to the truth that you now know has been revealed in Jesus. Remember when Jesus was ministering, he said to the Jews, "You shall know the truth. The truth will set you free." They responded very angrily concerning that, because they prided themselves in being the people of God, and they were never in slavery. Forgot, you know, Babylonians, forgot now under Roman rule, and forgot what was significant that Jesus was saying, is you've been a slave to sin. And it is only the truth that is in me that will set you free. That's why he later said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the truth. Pilate would say to Jesus, are you a king? Somebody tell you that, Pilate? No, I'm not a Jew. Your own people have delivered you into now my judgment. You say that I'm a king, you speak truth. And those who believe in me know the truth. Ah! What is truth? He is the objective truth. There is no truth apart from him. Who he is, what he's done, what he's doing, and what he is yet to do. But man lives in a subjective truth. What he determines is to be true concerning himself and his relationship to others. Ha! What's truth? Believers know the truth. Know the truth that has set us free from the enslavement and the embondishment of sin. Know the truth that gives us a world view, a world perspective. We now see the world no longer through blind eyes, no longer through a hard heart. We see the world through Christ, who is the truth. And it affects, it should, everything we do. You've been taught by him the truth. Verse 22. You put off concerning the former conduct of your old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Just flip back for a moment to the second chapter of Ephesians. I'm reading verse 1. And you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in your trespasses and sins. Your trespasses, your missteps. You've been going the wrong way. And your sins. Not only missteps, not going the wrong way, but short steps. You don't measure up. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He made you alive because you were dead in your trespasses and your sins. Wherein time past, you walked. That was your behavior. That was your mode of operation according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The whole world is under the dominion, the domination of the wicked one, of the devil. And this whole world is moving, of course, under the sovereignty of God, but it is moving, being driven by demonic activity. That's why we know in our previous studies, we're in a warfare, a spiritual warfare. This world hates God. I know you're not, but just to remind you, you shouldn't be surprised about anything that's going on in the world, especially in your world, what we live in every day of our being. It's wickedness. It's evil. It's opposed to God. That's how you used to live, yielding to that, being part of that. Verse 3 says, among whom you also all had, we all did, our conduct in times past in the lusts of our flesh. We're here to satisfy self, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature doomed. Come on back. Ephesians. Put off concerning the former conduct of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See, the world has an evil, it has a totally depraved mind. Can't make any right decisions as far as God's concerned. It's what God gave mankind over to in his rejection of God. Now, you need that mind renewed, and Christ gives you the ability to renew that mind. I beseech of you, brethren, Paul writes, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable, wholly given over to him, acceptable to him, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world in your thinking and in your doing, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The truth. Christ. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We think differently. We don't think like the world thinks. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who though equal with God, did not consider that equality with God something to be held on to be grasped, but emptied himself, divested himself of that outward manifestation of his majesty, and then took on the form of a servant, and in that likeness was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Get your whole mindset reformed, changed, conformed unto him, unto his mind. verse 24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Come on over to Colossians, just the next couple of pages. You got Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Remember, these are three of the first four letters written from first Roman imprisonment. Colossians chapter 3, and I'm reading from verse 8. Colossians 3:8. But now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with its deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, new mind of Christ, after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Gentile or Jew, circumcised, those Jews trying to keep the law, those uncircumcised, those Jews that did not practice the law, barbarian, that's heathens, Scythians, that's a civilized world, bond, slaves, or free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect, those chosen out to be his children, the elect of God, holy and beloved, depths of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man hath a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all those things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Put off the old. Put on the old. Therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's what? A new creation. Old things are passed away. Put off. All things have become new. Put on Christ-likeness. And in addition to those outward actions, things that we do that are pleasing to him, mix it all up and put on as its most significant attribute, love. Going back to Ephesians, chapter 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Followers of God. That's what we are. We're the children of God. We've been born anew. That's why Jesus said, you need to be born again. You need to be born anew. You need to be born from above. The natural birth won't cut it. You need a spiritual birth. The Spirit of God bringing forth a new creation. The Spirit of God does that. How? Convicting us of sin and then carrying us by faith to Christ. We're children. You remember that TV program? Chips off the old block. That's the way we ought to be behaving. That's our conduct. We're chips off the old block. We're a new creation. And how does it show itself? Walk in love. As Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. upper room. Jesus is coming near to the end of his physical life. He takes the disciples up in the upper room. And he puts on a magnificent illustration of what he expects of them. In fact, what he demands of them. He strips away his outer garment, girds himself with a towel, gets down on his knees and washes the feet of his disciples. You don't understand all that I'm doing right now, but you will. We're to love as he loved. Servant, giving himself. This is Almighty God on his knees before human beings. He set apart, he took off that outer garment, just as he set apart the splendor of his sovereignty to become a servant. And then he gave him a new commandment. Love one another. Here's the caveat. Just as I loved you. It was sacrificial. It was unconditional. They weren't deserving. We're not deserving. No one is deserving of his love. There's two words in the Greek New Testament that we translate in our English Bible by that English word love. The first one is phileo. That's an emotional love. That's a feeling. It's a feeling that allows us to care about one another. That's why I'm from the greatest city in the United States. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. We won't go there. I've been there. But the other word is this love that we are called to, that is the love of Christ, a love that is not an emotional love. Oh, he feels, but it is a volitional love, agape. It is that action initiated by the Spirit of God and under the control of the Spirit of God toward and for unconditionally and sacrificially the benefit of others. Agape. It's an action. It's that which the will does. How? Initiate. He in the flesh was still God, but he was a dependent son to the Father, energized and powered by the Holy Spirit. That's why he could say he was tested and tried in all things like us, yet did not have a sin nature. But he lived his life holy, set apart unto God by the empowerment of the Spirit. Now, we are to love sacrificially, unconditionally, for the benefit of others. He's commanded that. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Very quickly, you're having a good time, so don't worry about the time. 1 John, chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Reading from verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. Remember, Jesus, God's Son, did not come into this world to make us better. He did not come into this world to give us a better life. He came into this world that we might be His beloved, His unique child, children of God, born into the family of God, His loved ones, beloved. Let us love, agape, one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. This is the conduct of the children of God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is love. It's one of the few places there, and at verse 16, that we have this dramatic declaration. God is love. That's the very essence of His being. It's the essence of His being. Scriptures also say, God is light. No darkness at all in Him. Scripture also says, God is life. Eternal. God is love. Very essence of His being. And this was manifest, the love of God toward us. Here's the love of God on display. Because that God sent His only brought forth begotten Son that who into the world, that we who might live, that we might live through Him. First you all know. For God, so agape. This is His will. This is the action He's taking. It's the action that He's taking through the Son and through the Holy Spirit. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you look over there, 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. This is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in the Son. He that hath the Son hath the life, eternal. He that hath not the Son, he that hath not the Son of God, hath not the life, eternal. Real simple. This forever, eternal relationship with God is made possible and is permanently secured through Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not. No matter how hard you try, even Wesley experienced that, as I shared it earlier this morning. He was doing. And God keeps shouting down and kneeling down and reaching down, showing and declaring, done, done, done. You can't do it. I've done it for you because I loved you. And I still do. Saving love. And it's sustaining love. No man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one, not only in purpose, but in person. That person is the very essence of His being, love. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son. See, I needed to get here because of what I told you earlier. To be what? The propitiation for our sins. And simply for us this morning as we close. The Son is the satisfying, merciful sacrifice that allows God to declare of us in Christ Jesus, you're mine. You're mine forever. You are right before. Nothing keeps us apart. Sin's been taken care of. You're right with me. Righteous. I declare you such. Justified. And you're already in Christ my Son. Perfect. Glorified. He's the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but for the sins of the world. Those who have experienced that love of God are to walk with the God of love. It's an individual walk. It's not isolated. It's an integrated walk. It's an interdependent walk. It's an indivisible walk. We're in this together. We're his. And it's a walk worthy of him. It's a walk not the way we used to walk. It's a walk in love. Father, thank you. Thank you for who you are. What you've done, what you're doing, and yet what you're going to do. We praise you in Jesus' name.